Things are heating up in Europe and the US, on the January 6th committee, and in Middle Eastern politics. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is freelance journalist and author Sean Britton. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Well, Ed, is it hot enough for you? Not here in Sydney, obviously, where it's been a couple of cold and miserable weeks, but the United States and Europe experiencing a record-breaking heat wave. The UK experiencing its hottest day on record. And look, well, we know where to point the finger. What's going on, Ed?
Well, it's not hot enough for Mr. Bannon. He's looking for additional heat from the courts. Hey, look, I love hot weather. I never complain. It can't get too hot for me. I never use air conditioning. So I think all this hot stuff is, it's bad for old people. But we know climate change, we got a lot of climate deniers, but they're getting it in the rear now.
Fears again for the U.S. power grid, or at least sections of the U.S. power grid, especially in Texas, where the grid has been dependably unreliable during extremes of both hot and cold in recent years. I mean, that seems to be the way they like it. You know, in Texas, they like their men to be men, their steers longhorns, and their power grid unreliable. But
they are not part of the U.S. power grid. I believe they're the only state in the nation that is not part of the U.S. power grid. They thought they could go it alone, but they never built the infrastructure to use all that oil they have in order to generate enough electricity, nor did they build the lateral lines. So things are fine when it's cool in autumn, but the rest of the year, it's baloney. They're the third world.
January 6th, the final committee hearing into the attempted overthrow of the U.S. government, at least the last hearing for a while yet, could be happening this Friday. Now, one of the latest pieces of news to come out of these ones was the Secret Service deleted text messages that were sent on January 6th in a move called Crazy and Extraordinarily Troubling. Now, there's already been kind of suspicion over the role of this Secret Service on the day. I mean, one claim was that Mike Pence refused to get in a vehicle with them for fear they would sort of drive him to a secure location and keep him from certifying the election results. But what do you make of the latest, Ed?
Well, I make two things of it. One of them is they want to be loyal to the president no matter who or she is. And that loyalty includes saving their ass. They saved Trump by not taking him to the Capitol, but they didn't have orders not to do that. So they destroyed the evidence. This is what I call good trouble. Because had they revealed the information that they defied the orders, they would have been in trouble. They thought by defying direct orders from the President of the United States. These guys have not picked on their IQs. So they did the wrong thing. It's turned out to be the right thing. There's plenty of evidence of what happened from the initial discussion about him panicking and wanting to drive the car or jump over the steering wheel. We have an officer who's in the murdercade who confirms that. We have two other people who will be testifying tomorrow who will confirm that. So, and I'm willing to wager that the guys I used to work with in an agency that I will not name will find every one of those texts.
Good old another agency, Alphabet Agency right there.
Yes, yes. It starts with a C.
I think even, you know, as you say, without those texts in particular, Adam Kinzinger, on one of the ones on the committee, a Republican on the committee, has said they have a fairly good idea, and it will shock people. They have a fairly good idea of where Trump was, what his movements were on the day.
Yeah, and they have enough to convict him for dereliction of duty. easy.
Chairman of the committee, Benny Thompson, by the way, he's come down with the dreaded C, COVID. This seems like it hasn't affected too much, though.
I might have given it to him.
Oh, no, mate.
Yeah. As you know, I had it. And, you know, we're on the airwaves in a very powerful channel. So we might have been channeling Benny. Let's hope speedy recovery for Benny. This is a committee that every member can chair it. Benny is not the only one. So, and they're stepping on. Mm. Now, what this means for Kinzinger and his future, what it means for Liz Cheney, I think they will end up in the history books as heroes among all the scoundrels, even though they're not reelected.
Yeah, Benny might have caught it through the old 5G by the sound of things.
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe through the Secret Service.
And look, Trump himself, not content with witness tampering, according to one Wisconsin representative, is still calling to ask to overthrow the results of the 2020 election in his state. I mean, it's becoming increasingly clear that Trump obviously sees another run at the White House as his way.
No, he sees another attempt to seize the White House. He knows he cannot win an election. Every poll I've seen, he loses to everybody, including Kamala Harris. So he has to seize office, not win office.
Mm.
And there will be no support next time around for all this business of tampering with the electoral vote. I think those days are gone and done. Now, if the Republicans actually put up Mitt Romney or a good candidate, they could win.
And it was the fist bump felt around the world. Joe Biden is back from a brief trip through the Middle East, including a controversial stopover in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Now, justified, as you say, as a lot of things have been justified in the region, by the US need for oil. But Joe Biden went a step further and exchanged a friendly fist bump with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Ed, what do you make of the optics on this one?
Look, if he gets the oil, who cares? Look, this is all about oil. The GOP are going after him after their ex-president cussed that, touched that man not only in the mouth, but on the patootie. So let's not get carried away here. We'll just show Trump pictures hugging the crown prince and doing nothing about the Khashoggi incident. Nothing at all.
Yeah, to me, it actually brought to mind the Trump meeting with Kim Jong-un, you know, the whole photo shoot they had standing next to one another. And, you know, make of Biden's decision what you will, but obviously a lot of higher-ups in government, they've got to be aware. When you're high up in the American government, America stands for both hard and soft power. And that's obviously why a lot of these dictators, criminal types, they do want to legitimize their position by getting this kind of closeness on display.
Excellent analysis. And I think for Biden, this, in a sense, was a win because this guy now feels better about the United States, even though it's a small victory. Oil prices are going down. If they go down by October, the Democrats can have a very nice victory.
Well, as I say, the love of oil has justified a great deal of things in that region. Did we see any other takeaways coming from the Middle East tour?
I think snuggling up with Israel again is disappointing to me, but I can understand the realpolitik of it because we have to get Iran back not producing atomic weapons, and Israel certainly will be a big part of that. And if we don't have Israel on side and the Saudis on side, it's going to be hard to corral the Iranians. So this does make sense. But the real thing here is oil.
Well, speaking of Iran, Vladimir Putin, who has really, really stepped outside the country's borders since the invasion of Ukraine, Putin took the time to meet with the Turkish and Iranian leaders in Tehran this week in order to secure closer ties with them. What do you make of this one, Ed?
Well, he needs friends, and we need wheat. So this is a friend's wheat deal. He can't send them arms anymore, but he can send wheat. And I think that's what that was all about. He's getting weaker and weaker economically. Russia is. The oil situation is really stupid if you stop to think about it. The Europeans signing up to get their oil from the Russians is like me signing up with the Ku Klux Klan for free passage through Mississippi. What a stupid, irresponsible act that was. If you're going to do something like that, you have a back door. So now Putin is trying to get some economic leverage, and that's what this is all about. He needs it. His people are not just having trouble at the oil pump, but at the grocery store. And that's what brings down tyrants.
Meanwhile, in domestic politics, with many fearing that previous Supreme Court decisions such as same-sex marriage and even mixed race marriage could be on the table, the U.S. House has passed a bill calling for protections to those institutional amendments, such as they were. And now it does have to pass through the Senate. Now, the bill doesn't necessarily appear dead on arrival, as many Democratic bills have, and it could indeed divide Senate Republicans. Ed, what's happening?
Well, I give this better than the 50-50 chance of passing. The reason for it is, it's not the intermarriage. It's the interracial marriage. It's the same-sex issue. The Republicans, like all the parties, have in their upper echelon quite a number of people who are involved in same-sex relationships. And if they touch that, they will lose a lot of their intelligentsia. So it makes sense. This is a safe vote. It's a very bad vote thing to vote against. And who cares about the marriage thing? But if you do something on same sex, you are affecting your electoral chances for sure. So I think they'll get the necessary numbers, probably a few more, and pass it.
Yeah, I think it's, as you say there, it is really all about electoral chances in a lot of ways. I mean, Ted Cruz, he made the comments around same-sex marriage. There was Mike Braun in Indiana, Senator Mike Braun, who made some comments, which he later tried to walk back, regarding states' rights, whether states should have the right to decide on mixed-race marriages and the like. I get the sense, regardless of what these people actually believe, what the Republicans there actually believe, they're kind of going and seeing, how far can I push this? Where can I still find support? Or what do I have to walk back as I'm kind of testing these boundaries of what's actually acceptable, what will get me votes?
Yeah, it's not really acceptable. And intermarriage in the United States is pretty high, too. So this is one, even those people who don't believe in abortion, some are intermarried. So this is really a hot, hot, hot potato.
And look, speaking of the Senate, Bernie Sanders had some strong words for allegedly Democratic Senator Joe Manchin this week, after Manchin again made some excuse as to why he wouldn't support legislation on climate change and taxes, saying Manchin is intentionally sabotaging the president's agenda, what the American people want, what a majority of us in the Democratic caucus want. And most tellingly, I think, we continue to talk to Manchin like he was serious. He was not. I mean, Ed, that kind of hits
Manchin wrote the provisions he's not for.
Exactly.
He wrote them himself. These did not come from Biden. They didn't come from Sanders. They came directly from Manchin. He is totally untrustworthy. We need 53 senators.
Well, this is the question. I mean, you've got just, it's very obvious that at this point he's nothing but a saboteur. But with such a thin margin at current, what are you going to do about it?
Get rid of the filibuster.
Mm. And just finally, Ed, circling back to what we talked about at the beginning of this conversation, climate change, climate action, and weather extremes. Now, you've obviously said you're very proud of the new Australian government making strides on climate action. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese was this week at the Pacific Forum, a place where Australia, look, hasn't been too popular in the last few years. Maybe something to do with the new opposition leader, the now opposition leader, making jokes about water lapping around their front doors. Any takeaways on the kind of latest discussion and Labor's current targets?
Well, Labor's current targets are really being pressed because of current emergencies. One, a fiscal emergency, so we need to sell coal. Another, a power emergency, so we need to use coal. And to reach the targets that were set is possible. But the Greens want to go beyond that, both in terms of lowering the date and increasing the obligations. And they control the Senate. So we will see how this works out. There'll probably be some compromise. But again, this is good trouble.
Ed and I will be back to discuss all the latest goings on at home and abroad next week. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.